Welcome back, everyone, to Eric Reads Through the Bible.
Well, Chip is here, too.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. It's going to take some time to break that old habit of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two-day habit.
This is just us. Yeah, this is us gaslighting, well, me gaslighting the audience to say that Chip has not been here all year. But he has, and so possibly have you.
Yeah.
And we're very proud of you for that. It's amazing. We have had so much fun reading to you this year.
So much fun.
And, we're looking forward to December 30th, Friday, December 30th, celebrating this year and kicking off next year's reading. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So yesterday we read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and today we are going to be jumping back into the book of Acts. We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 18 where we left off, and we are going to read all of that and all the way through Acts 19 as well.
Okay.
So Acts 18, 19. They stopped first at the port of Ephesus, where Paul left the others behind. While he was there, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he left, however, he said, "I will come back later, God willing." Then he set sail from Ephesus. The next stop was at the port of Caesarea. From there, he went up and visited the church at Jerusalem and went back to Antioch.
After spending some time in Antioch, Paul went back through Galatia and Phrygia, visiting and strengthening all the believers.
Apollos instructed at Ephesus. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism.
Oh.
When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately.
Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. They wrote to the believers in Achaia, asking them to welcome him. When he arrived there, he proved to be a great benefit to those who, by God's grace, had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments and public debate. Using the scriptures, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah.
Paul's third missionary journey, Acts chapter 19. When Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them.
"No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit."
"Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked.
And they replied, "The baptism of John."
Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus.
As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all.
Paul ministers in Ephesus. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord.
God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled.
A group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered.
Yeah. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus, the Jews, the Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and in the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect.
Afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Achaia before going to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, "I must go on to Rome." He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia.
The riot in Ephesus. About that time, serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the way. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith who had large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis. He kept many craftsmen busy. He called them together along with many and employed along with others employed in similar trades, and addressed them as follows.
Gentlemen, you know that our wealth comes from this business, but as you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't really gods at all. And he's done this not only here in Ephesus, but throughout the entire province. Of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect for our business. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence, and that Artemis, this magnificent goddess worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her great prestige.
At this, their anger boiled, and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Soon the whole city was filled with confusion. Everyone rushed to the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, who were Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. Paul wanted to go in too, but the believers wouldn't let him. Some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, also sent a message to him, begging him not to risk his life by entering the amphitheater.
Inside, the people were all shouting, some one thing and some another. Everything was in confusion. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander forward and told him to explain the situation. He motioned for silence and tried to speak. But when the crowd realized he was a Jew, they started shouting again and kept it up for about 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!
At last, the mayor was able to quiet them down enough to speak. "Citizens of Ephesus," he said, "everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose images fell down to us from heaven. Since this is an undeniable fact, you should stay calm and don't do anything rash. You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple and have not spoken against our goddess.
If Demetrius and the craftsmen have a case against them, the courts are in session, and the officials can hear the case at once. Let them make formal charges, and if there are complaints about other matters, they can be settled in a legal assembly. I am afraid we are in danger of being charged with rioting by the Roman government, since there is no cause for all this commotion, and if Rome demands an explanation, we won't know what to say. Then he dismissed them, and they dispersed. All right.
Okay, that's our reading today.
That's it.
Yeah, good.
So, two semi-ordinary pastors.
Yep.
Extraordinary book.
Yep.
Amazing people.
Yep.
Two questions.
Yep.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Okay. So what? Well, Eric.
Yeah.
There is two powers at work here. Mm-hmm. You see the power of God, the power that can heal and help and save and deliver, and then you see the power of Satan that can just torment and leave you naked and battered.
Naked and battered.
And it really is true. Like, the power of God can do amazing things. We know that. We read about it. We've seen it. This book should convince you of that, the power of God. And we have access to that through a relationship with Jesus by faith. And that's really cool. And the Holy God, the Holy Spirit in us to do great and amazing things. The power of God is real, and it's life-changing, and we've talked about it a lot. But there is a power of Satan that you don't want to mess with. And I think people think it's cute and Wiccan, which is considered a religion in our country, mm-hmm. you know, taps into a power that wouldn't attribute to Satan, but it is of Satan. And it's something that you don't want to mess with. And so I would say rejecting Jesus really kind of leads you down that path of the power of Satan, and you don't think of it that way, and maybe you're not into incantations or things like that, but idolatry is real. Mm-hmm. And anybody can tap into that, believers or not, but I would just say be very careful with what power you're tapping into and make sure it's the power of God that leads to life and healing and well-being for you and many others, and not the power of Satan, which is real and dangerous and dark and evil, and it's cute, you know, and it can come in many forms. It can come in many forms, and it looks harmless, and it looks like it's okay, but it's leading you down a dark and dangerous road that can be very destructive for you if you're not careful.
It's a very good word. Yes. Thanks, Chip.
Yep.
All right. Where is Jesus? Well, let's remember, Jesus is the fulfillment of the ministry of John the Baptist. Yep. And Apollos needed to learn that. And people that he had ministered to needed to learn that.
Yeah.
That Jesus is the fulfillment of the ministry of John the Baptist. And I think, and he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of all of this mm-hmm. expectation. He's the fulfillment of all of it. And so he's there. And so Aquila and Priscilla needed to explain that to Apollos, and Paul needed to explain that to these men that presumably Apollos had spoken to, right? So, you know, if we only accept a partial gospel, then we're missing out on this Holy Spirit power, right? Like the moment that they fully understood the gospel is the moment that the Holy Spirit descended upon them and started producing fruit in their lives. And so I just think, hey, let's keep Jesus at front and center in the gospel. Chip always says it's not about what you do. It's about what he's done. And so I think keeping him front and center in the gospel, fully understanding who he is and what he's done, is exactly how we can live this empowered Christian life. So there's Jesus in the text. He's the fulfillment of the ministry of John the Baptist, and they needed to hear it.
Yeah, love. I know Jesus. I know Paul, but who are you?
Oh, I know, right? That's good, too. Classy. Who are you?
That's classic.
Oh, so man.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Good stuff here. We're proud of you.
We are proud of you.
We're going to keep going. Almost there.
I know. Almost. December 30th is coming. We're going to have a great party.
Woo!
And it's going to be prizes and Bible trivia.
Food? Hope so.
Yep.
Good. I just said food question mark. Hope so. Yes, there will be.
So please, Chip has us signed up
send
for
a message
food now.
To Allison.
Say yeah, bring all your Christmas food. Leftovers. They'll be 5 days old by that point.
Christmas potluck. Great. I won't be there.
Oh, little known fact. Well. Chip hates potlucks. Not actually that little known.
But I love Jesus.
Yes. You love Jesus and you love the people of the potluck.
Oh, I do.
See?
The people of the potluck.
I love the people of the potluck. Or the covered dish thing. Yes. Someone said that to me. Covered one of our dish. Listeners. It's not a potluck. It's a covered dish meal.
That is true. I don't know. Potluck. That is weird.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a potluck.
Yeah.
We're going to have a covered dish meal. That makes it sound better.
Yeah. Yeah, because then the gross stuff, you can just leave it covered.
Oh, great. Keep it covered. All right.
Yeah. You guys got stuff to do. Get out of here.
Okay. Bye.